think it's going to, when the person talks, it'll come up in a little box, that's what, yeah.
Do you like that? Those were substantial chickens.
They're almost like turkeys, though.
They were big.
You could have cut those in quarters.
They were healthy. I love the coleslaw, I love the chicken. I don't know who makes them, I love the coleslaw.
Is that grandma's?
Grandma's.
Grandma's.
5 minutes ago, you were talking about the diet, and I hear some french fries.
But I only eat one meal a day. Chris, I'm on 45 pounds.
That's amazing.
6 inches on my weight. I'll be back in playing condition later.
Hey, the old rack. We'll take over, we'll leave off where we.
50 years ago.
We'll continue where we left off.
Half a century ago.
Yeah, half a century ago.
Are we ready yet? Jim is joining us via Zoom, and Tom is probably just landed a few minutes ago, so he's gonna be either Zoom or come late.
So, John.
Yeah.
Recording in progress.
Welcome, everyone, to the caucus before the regular council meeting on September 13th. Debbie, would you please call the roll?
DeGeronimo?
Here.
Grandal?
Here.
Tagliati?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Viverka?
Here.
Walchanowicz?
Here.
Very good, welcome, everyone. Before we get into the agenda and the legislation on tonight's meeting, I think, Dawn, you wanted to make a presentation on Tyler, so.
Yeah, I was just gonna do a very informal update on how things are going. So we did launch successfully on August 15th, and I shipped at the counter, so we're almost 30 days out. We have over about 1,100 tickets at the end of today. It was a successful beginning. We had the off-site support, and we took advantage of that, and that helped us kind of work through some things. We've had some technical issues on Tyler's end, we put in tickets, some have been resolved, some are still working on that. We anticipate the ability to add PDFs and images should be before the end first of the year. So the goal will be using this time between now and the first of the year to kind of perfect the process, and I'd say we're about 75% of the way there with the objective of, in October, I know Councilman DeGeronimo wants to do a pilot group with some citizens, is that correct? We were thinking something where they would use the civic portal.
I think it's something we should think about.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
A guest group.
Yeah, with, thus far, all tickets that come in from citizens are going through the way the analog process, either phone call, email, and they're entering them in manually. What we'd like to do is give citizens the ability to do that themselves. That'll save them time, us time, and I think it'll increase sort of the productivity and the accuracy of the information. So that is, we're planning for that to be in October. Maybe in October we would do the pilot. And did you have a list of people you wanted to work through, or was there a section of the city? What were you thinking? Not sure how you want to do that, but we can.
I could reach out and get a name, but I think we should all think about that. If there's some users out there, people that we work in various services that take advantage of the programs, that would offer some good constructive criticism, hopefully, to work out some kinks before you go live to. Or
I think that's a great idea, and I can certainly spearhead that. Just if we can discuss, yeah, obviously, outside of this meeting, figuring out how we want to get that collection of people together. And I would say that, I don't know if Ron can hear us, but Ron probably has some input on how it's going. But I think thus far, go ahead, Ron.
So far today, it's going wonderfully. Don's been a great asset to help the service department and the foreman and all the men, helping them learn their tablets and get their work orders completed, and they have to do a few steps every day to begin work and enter in their time, their data, their assets, their hours, different men on the machines and the men on the jobs, the equipment that they're using. And in the first couple of weeks here, 30 days, whatever it's been, I mean, it's been flawless, it's been great. Bond's been a huge help to the service departments. So we're excited.
Yeah, I've got a lot of good feedback from the foreman and Marie, and everyone in Parks and Rec seem to be using it successfully. They're doing it a little bit differently. All of their foremen are the ones that are putting in the tickets, and the people in the field, they're not outside using tablets. It's just the foreman doing it. Engineering, they're putting in their tickets directly from the front office people, and tech services are all putting in their own tickets on there. So they will start getting tickets, and they probably have already received tickets from within those.
Every day.
Yeah, within the departments.
We get tickets every day at Close Mile. Look at them, I can count them, I can, in fact, what we're gonna start doing now is, Don will come over in the next couple of weeks, and we're gonna start inputting pictures. So we can input, so we're looking at a unit, we could actually take the picture and input that into Tyler, so. It's working great, it's a great tool.
Yeah, I think it's gonna definitely improve the efficiency, and I've gotten very good feedback, people find it very easy to use. I know we're gonna run into some kinks, and one of the nice things is that I've just recently, just finished all of our post-launch support. So now we're in the phase of, if there are tickets, I'm the point person, if there's an issue, they've handed off the keys to me to how to put in support tickets, so I'm kind of that person. So the next step, from my perspective, is pushing this out to all of our internal departments so they can start putting in tickets. Thus far, it's just been the four teams that have been using the product. So now it's gonna be the mayor's office and fire if they need to put in tickets and anyone within the city. That's why we wanted to kind of a slow start, let the groups that are using it get used to it, and then now everybody will start within the city to be able to put in tickets. And then I believe very confidently that by the first of the year, we'll be really ready to roll this out. And I've already talked to Ala, we'll figure out a marketing team so that we can push that out to all of the citizens so they can know what their options are to start using this service as well. Anybody have any questions?
Thank you. Any questions, Jim? Do you have any questions for Don?
No, sounds promising.
So
be working on a pilot program, maybe come up with some people that, you know, have a very deep interest in it that can get that started.
You and I, we can talk offline about that.
Sure. Very
awesome.
Good. Thank you, Don.
Yeah.
We'll turn to page 2 of the agenda. We only have one piece of legislation on second reading. It's resolution number 2022-20. It's a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute an affidavit of facts relative to the stewardship of certain environmental parcels located in the Chestnut Woods Section 3 subdivision. This was a topic at our public lands and building meeting, and it was discussed. And if there's any questions from council, this again, we reviewed it pretty extensively there at the beginning of your meeting, Chris. We will vote on that separately this evening. Now we go to first reading, and the very first piece of legislation is ordinance number 2022-121. This ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a job relocation and creation grant agreement with Faber Castell USA Incorporated to relocate operations to a location within the city. Do we have our Jessica? Are you here?
I'm tricking you, sorry.
Very good. Jessica, you can fill in some information on this.
Yes, Faber Castell is considering locating at the soon potentially to be built building on Rio Miro. They're looking at about occupying about 130,000 square feet of space for a period of 10 years. We're proposing a 5-year grant at 37.5% for them to relocate $3 million worth of payroll and 81 employees to the City of Independence, again, for 5 years. This is still in the early stages. It's a potential project, and they're looking for the City of Independence support. Just for a little bit of background information, Faber Castell is a leader in the pen and writing industry, as well as craft industry. They acquired Creativity for Kids, which is a craft box company. So they put together crafts in boxes. You'll see at Michael's the idea to have activities for your kids, and they've been around since 1976.
And then, just what kind of work will they be doing at this facility?
So it'll be their headquarters operation, their United States headquarters, so they're headquartered in Germany. This will be their U.S. headquarters. They'll be doing, they'll have their headquarters operation as well as their production and fulfillment operations.
I see. Any questions for Jessica on this? Oh, yeah, if we can't overrule Johnson from the legislation, because this comes through your committee, but...
I'm gonna...
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll remove Johnson from...
Dave?
Yes, sir.
I'm just curious, just on a protocol, we don't have the value of the potential grant in the legislation, it's in the memo. Is that legal to do it that way? I just want to make sure we're doing everything right.
Yes, you're authorizing the mayor to enter into a grant consistent with the memorandum provided to you, yes.
And the value, so we could get, the value of this, I believe, Jessica, you told us, $112,500.
Correct. We estimate that the annual payment based on the $3 million payroll would be about $22,500 a year. So over a five-year period of time, that'd be $112,500.
And that's 37.5%?
That's 37.5%, correct.
It's a five-year grant, not, obviously it's 3 years.
It's a five-year grant. So they're signing a 10-year lease, so we agreed to create a five-year grant for them.
And it'll be monitored throughout the...
Correct. So it'll be monitored, it's a grant for 5 years, and then an equal five-year monitoring period at the end of that.
I see. Any questions for Justin? And this one will be on the consent agenda, this will have some extensions or anything, so we'll go on this individually this evening.
Can you do that on the consent agenda? There's, has to be a recorded extension.
Yeah, sure. We just, we normally don't call for an extension, but as long as the mayor would call for the extension, that'd be fine.
Okay, then. Does anybody disagree with this? Well, then we'll put on the consent agenda. I thought we needed everybody in attendance, but...
Thank you, council.
Thank you, Jessica. We move to ordinance number 2022-122. This is an ordinance authorizing the purchase of radio equipment for the fire department in an amount not to exceed $25,192.36, although I believe, I don't know, Dennis, if this is your memo or not, but I believe that this particular purchase was $11,629.
Yes, I believe.
Yeah, Councilman, I can explain that. So we had bought some radio equipment earlier in the year, Kenwood equipment. They were having a discounted sale for traded, or get a good price on the radios. So at that time, we spent $13,500. The sale was continued. That was supposed to end in June. This continued through October, so I thought I'd take advantage of it and buy a few more radios. But that's the amount that I'm spending to exceed the $15,000, so in total, the not to exceed amount would be that $25,000 figure because of the additional purchase. So it is true, I'm only spending $11,000 now between the two. It's over the allowable amount of $15,000.
I see, and this is out of the operating budget for the department?
Correct. This will come out of my operating budget. I would request one thing, if it's possible, to increase the overall amount by $150. We had some chargers, portable chargers that went bad, and I have to get those through that soon. Communications, some technical equipment, so it was something that just popped up today. So if we could just increase that by $150 for the not to exceed amount, I would appreciate it.
Make a motion.
Motion by Chris, any second?
Second.
Second by Anthony. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Very good, Chief. We have that. This is through the State Department Purchasing Program.
Correct, yes. This is best person.
Very good. Thank you, Steve. Any objections to putting this on consent agreement or consent agenda? Since we have a consent agenda. Thank you, Steve. Ordinance number 2022-123. This ordinance authorizing an increase in the amount of funds allocated to the redemption of Atlantic Emergency Solutions for annual preventive maintenance of the city's fire engines and ladder truck, first revision, in an amount not to exceed $22,000. And Steve, I know we read your memo, but if you can review this for us.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, we looked out for vendors that will allow us to do our preventive maintenance. Now, these are specific vendors that have emergency vehicle technician training to do this work. We ended up using Atlantic after evaluating what was out there. We did have all of our vehicles sent for preventative maintenance. Two of the vehicles, our oldest engine and our ladder truck, had some basically repairs that needed to be done, just wear and tear repairs, brakes, certain valves in the pump systems and so forth that went bad. So we anticipated not more than $5,000 or $6,000 for just our annual maintenance, but the other costs added up, and we're at a point where we're we have some invoices that are probably coming in that will exceed the $15,000 mark. And with us being going into the end of the year, we just wanted to have some extra funds in there because we also buy loose equipment and things like that from Atlantic. So that's why I was requesting the $22,000, not to be the total amount that we're looking at for the invoices that are out there right now, about $16,296. For work that's done, the rest would be just in case we need it for other repairs. Atlantic is our Pierce authorized dealer, so they're our go-to people, Pierce equipment.
And again, this comes out of the operating budget too, as far as correct.
Correct.
Any questions for Steve? Any opposition putting on the consent agenda? Hearing none, Steve will put on the consent agenda this evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ordinance number 2022-124. It's an ordinance authorizing the transfer of surplus property no longer needed by the police department to the city of Maple Heights. And Mayor, I know you had brought that up to us previously at the council regarding if there was any objections to this.
Yeah, this formalizes the donation of two police vehicles that we have taken out of service to one of our neighboring communities that really is in a challenging situation, and they really do appreciate the fact that the city is willing to donate to decommissioned police cars for their use.
I think it's a tremendous gesture on our part to help another suburb out that's having some difficulty and is able to help their police department. I'm glad that we're able to do that for them. I don't think there's anybody that's opposed to this measure. We'll put this on the consent agenda this evening. Ordinance number 2022-125. It's an ordinance authorizing the purchase and installation of 6 in-car video systems on existing police department vehicles. And I believe it's amount not to exceed $27,609.24, part of the 5-year capital plan.
It's part of the capital plan, yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Is that correct figure in there, Dennis, around that?
$20,835.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. It's $24,135.24.
Oh, that the 3,000 portion before, that's for the storage, I guess, cloud storage.
That is for the installation of the equipment.
I see. Again, because it's a total annual cost, it's $3,474. So is that for?
Okay, that will be for the cloud storage. That will be a.
Yes, $20,835 for the equipment, $3,300 for the installation. Then if you add the cloud storage on, that's additional $3,474.
Yeah, I know. Yes, that's correct. I just put that in there for informational purposes. That will come out of our 110 account.
Mm-hmm. Any questions?
I guess I'm just confused by the estimate on page 38 of our packet. It's for the cloud storage for $17,370.
Well, initially the vendor was billing for 5 years up front.
Okay.
and that's what the $17,000 was.
We didn't go for that, we didn't wanna put a cash expenditure on for 5 years of that service up front, so Dennis and Chief renegotiated that, and they agreed to go with the 1-year-at-a-time payment.
Any questions for Dennis or the chief on this legislation?
Hey, everyone. Dave.
Yes, Jeremy.
Yeah, thank you. Just in terms of that cloud storage, so if we go, what does that get us? How much cloud storage does that get us? And is there a clause that if we go over, there's a different cost? I mean, how does that work?
What they informed us is that, I can't get you the terabytes of what they're going to give us, but they said that it's well more than what we have exceeded in the past 3 years combined is what we would get per year. We can also upload videos from gas stations, from hotels, any videos, we can load it up onto their cloud, unless we become egregious with what we are doing. But we haven't touched that number with what they are giving us in the past 3 years combined.
And the second part of that is that a public record? Can that be requested by someone?
All of our videos are public record.
Okay.
Now, if it's an active investigation, I mean, there's things in the Sunshine Law that might delay or prohibit some parts of the video come out, which I will say the GTEC package that we are getting, we also have software that allows us to blur people's faces, such as a juvenile, blur plates, and actually be able to edit or turn off, you know, certain sounds if something is part of the investigation that's not ready to be released yet. We cannot do that currently. This brings us up to what other departments can do. It brings us up to the future.
And is there a cost to if you're, you know, if someone requests that, is there a separate cost, or is that just part of the storage to give them that information?
Are you saying if somebody requests videos, what the cost is?
Yes.
Yes. I can, if you want to give me a second, I have the ordinance on my phone of what we charge for pictures and for videos. I believe for videos and anything that we send digitally, there is no additional charge, but for reports and for pictures, there is a fee associated with disseminating that information. So if a law firm or an insurance company asks for public records or reports, there is a fee, there's an ordinance. There's the ordinance right there. The ordinance number is 123.02, copies of public document fee. That is the section of the independence ordinance that details all of our ordinance fees.
I was just curious, the cost to us from the company, is there a cost?
There's no cost. Everything is ours. So they are just holding it. We're not keeping storage here. It's in the cloud, that way we can't lose it or anything else like that. Keeping a co-band storage system here is what we currently have in our basement. If that gets destroyed, all videos will be destroyed. So it's a less safe method.
Very good.
Thank you, Jim. Any other questions?
Chief, do we plan on outfitting the rest of the vehicles with something similar, replacing if this is a better technology, or just as we go and just recycle, go through the vehicles?
This is going to give us a big shot in the arm. With the two that we got recently and the six that we're ordering now, that's about 30% of our fleet. We are looking into getting our federal funds activated here soon that finance and I have been working on. If we get that, there's a chance that next year that we just do all of the cameras and all the cars to make them all the same. That was a recommendation by Jim Gibbs, so that it's just on one platform and it keeps it all the same. This also, last thing, I know we had a representative come. This is also the system that has two cameras, where we have a camera in the front of the cruiser and a camera watching any potential prisoners. We do not have that currently. So this is a really big upgrade for our department and our needs.
Thank you, Chief. Any other questions? We'll put this on the consent agenda this evening. Thank you, Chief. We move to ordinance number 2022-126. This ordinance
ordinance amending ordinance 2022-111, authorizing extension to the agreement with J.F. Lensowitz and Associates to provide labor relations consulting and negotiation services. And what's the difference?
Yeah, the last month we went to an hourly rate because of the inconsistent need for labor services. What we failed to do was continue this after the police contract was done. So this gives us some flexibility beyond that because we have labor issues continuously throughout the year. So it would be continue on an hourly rate as needed, so with a maximum.
I see. So the difference between last month was just, that was just for the negotiations.
Just to finish with the police department, yeah, which we're not done yet. So
right,
we are moving forward to some mediation, some type of process, but this would allow us some flexibility beyond that.
Very good. Anybody, I think, so we won't.
Yeah, we just leave this off the consent agenda.
There's a little bit voting on this separately. Any other questions for the mayor on this? Thank you, Greg. Mm-hmm. Ordinance number 2022-127. This ordinance accepting the proposal of R&R Inc. DBA Cleveland Mack Sales to the supply of parts and repair and maintain the city's Mack and auto car trucks on an as-needed basis. And I think, Ron, are you here, or we're going to have Dennis?
Yes, this is similar to legislation we requested back in July for Freightliner. R&R Mack is a sole source for Mack trucks parts. They did provide our discount on parts and the hourly output rate, repair rate. They'll hold this through the end of the year. Basically, it's a sole source, and it's the only place we can service our trucks. The reason for the increase amount is because many of these vehicles are coming out of warranty in anticipation of getting the vehicles prepared for winter. We'd like to have a little bit of a buffer in there.
And yes, I know, as far as in the legislature says that it's to run for a whole year until August 31st of 2023?
No, this will end in December 31 of this year, based on the letter that was provided by R&R Truck.
Okay, so that's incorrect as far as it's a little blurb that's after legislation that says that it's, for a period starting with the enactment of this ordinance and ending August 31st, 2023.
Correct. I tried to get the vendor to do an annual, but he, at that time, he said, with the way the supply chain is and everything, they didn't feel comfortable.
I guess disregarding that. It's only for the end of the year then.
Correct.
Only until the end of the year, then the legislation needs to be amended. The fourth where he asked for.
See, one of the problems is that we're getting close to that 15,000 hour threshold, and we did this in advance of the fourth season.
So then, Debbie, I mentioned we need to have a motion to amend this.
Yeah.
Changing August 31st, 2023 to December 31st, 2022.
I'll make the motion to amend.
Chris made the motion for a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Very good. Glad we brought that up this week. Anybody against this legislation? We will put this on the consent agenda. Ordinance number 2022-128. This ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into an agreement with the Manic and Smith Group Incorporated for professional services to update the city's 2017 roadway program paver report, an amount not to exceed $41,900. This came out, I believe, of the Streets and Sidewalks Dale's Committee. And Don, if you want to add to that as far as this legislation.
Sure. Thanks, Vice Mayor. Yeah, this Megan Smith was initially engaged in 2012. They performed the first five-year update in 17. We're coming up on that second five-year term, so we felt it was prudent to update the program. You know, we've done a lot of work, capital upgrades over the five-year period. It's a good time to revisit the entire roadway network, reevaluate them, and input the data of all the past projects, and then get new inventories, ratings, condition indexes, and then populate another 5 to 10 year maintenance and capital plan.
Very good. So, and they said that they'll get it done in 90 day period once it's approved?
Correct.
And the new field inspection? I think very good. So that by the end of the year, we should have, maybe January, we have a report to work on, and be able to have our marching order made for next year, and the year's going to kind of plan ahead.
Early.
Yes. Yes, very good. Any questions for Don on that?
So Don, I see pages of the prior year report, and when this has been discussed, when it's been brought up in so many meetings, but this is more than just a report. I mean, this references some technology, software, you get CAD drawings. This is more than a, it's in a booklet that sits in the office.
Well, Councilman Dejron, the software they refer to is their paver program software that the data is input into. We get general maps that show segments of roadways that they utilize for their report to help you understand what segment of road a certain paving commission index rate of value applies to. So I don't believe there's CAD drawings included. But it is a good asset management tool and document that we have utilized in the past.
And then does your department utilize any other technology? I guess specific, if it's mapping tools, or does that exist somewhere else?
Yeah, the department doesn't have any sort of global technology. We utilize GIS and AutoCAD. We get AutoCAD mapping when we perform surveys on road reconstruction projects. So very specific areas where we go do work and hire consultants to gather data. Those are the traditional methods.
Any other questions for Don? Any opposition on the consent agenda? Very good. As pointed out by our law director, we're going to take the next two ordinances and just discuss them together. They're kind of interrelated here today. And they're both out of Chris's Public Lands and Buildings Committee. 2022-1.9 is ordinance authorizing the purchase and installation of 3 new air handling units for City Hall and the police station. Ordinance number 2022-130 is ordinance authorizing the purchase and installation of controls for the 3 new air handling units for the City Hall and the police station. I think the amount increased from the meeting to $275,500, that's because we have now added to that the warranty.
Yes, and your parts related to the warranty, yeah, which comes out to about $3,700 a year for all 3 units.
And as we discussed that at the committee meeting, that would be very quick. Chris, you had brought that up, that we should have that included.
Good idea.
Anything you can add, Dave? I know you.
I think we ran this through. I think they're very good units. Carrier's very competent company. They were the ones that installed the units, the existing units. In fact, that's what I said. They still have the prints from when they installed them over 40 years ago. So, very good company. Long-standing, been in business, staying in the air condition.
And if you can quickly discuss the procedure they're going to use, or the process they're going to use to...
Well, these are built in place. These units are huge. They're in the attic. There's buildings. There's 3 of them. They're 25 feet long. Well, maybe 15 feet wide. In order to get these units in and out, if you wanted to do it in one piece, they have to open up the roof, expose, cut the rafters, put purlins back in to repair, put rafters back in, repair, and obviously put the roof back on. Kerry proposed that they're going to disassemble these, reassemble them in place, carry them up, crane them in, crane different parts. In different areas, we'll have to go through windows and dormers, but we've been very successful in doing this with the pool pack at the Civic Center, and did that about 5 years ago now. It's worked out great. The technicians from Carrier are coming to do it, no one else. So people who build them from the factory are going to be the ones to disassemble them and reassemble them.
Any questions for Dave?
Dave, what would the additional $8,000 requested for?
Well, miscellaneous, I talked with Dennis, just in case something comes up. I don't know, I think we're gonna do the work in-house as far as removing the windows. There's a wall upstairs that needs to be removed and reinstalled. There's a door, a frame that we have to remove just to get it in and out. You don't know what might come up. Not as far as John's controls, that's a concrete price. And as far as Carrier, that's a concrete price. Not for them, but anything else that we might have overlooked. That's all. It's a contingency.
Any other questions? Any opposition to putting this on consent agenda? We've been talking about this for quite some time, so now we're going to put it...
4 years old. They've served their purpose.
Yes, they have. And Dave, thank you very much for your hard work on this. On both of these.
Thank you. Thanks for the consideration. Thank you.
We will put both 129 and 130 on the consent agenda this evening. Ordinance number 2022-131. And it is an ordinance amending ordinance 2022-15, authorizing a $24,990.30 increase in the amount of funds requested, going from $112,302 to an amount not to exceed $138,771 for the purchase and delivery of three new 2023 Ford SUV interceptors for the police department. I guess this stems from the fact that we got shut out of the 2022.
Yes, that's correct. Ford ended production of the 2022 model year, and there was no price guarantee or delivery date when this order was placed. Actually, the next ordinance also is for the same situation. These are three police vehicles. The next one is for one vehicle for the engineering department. Typically, Ford has their order bank open for 10 months. You know, in 2023, closed after 3 months. Now in 2023, for the 23 vehicles, the order bank was opened only for 3 weeks and it closed on September 9th. There's no guarantee that when we do order these vehicles that they will be delivered, or even there's a guarantee on the price for upfitting the options. But the dealer we were ordering them from felt confident that because we're getting in so early and there was a priority with us because we had an earlier order that was not delivered, we should receive delivery.
And I see that later on in the agenda we're going to be ordering more 2023, you know, that'll be part of
that's
next
right.
Year's 5 year. Very good. Any questions for Dennis?
Dennis, I'm here in the back of your head, right? So, on 137, do we have a guaranteed price on those that we will receive next year?
No, there is no price guarantee. And currently, to kind of explain the situation, what's going on right now, the state of Ohio has out for bid Ford vehicles, and the window has already closed on it, so the city or the state of Ohio will not even receive their bids, and it's already been closed for the window.
We need to amend the increase amount. The $112,302 was from the ordinance 2022-15, and the not to exceed amount of $138,771 is directly from the quote, but the difference between those two is $26,469. So that needs to be the number in the title. And just in the title.
That's $26,469.
Correct.
So would you need a motion to amend that?
Motion to amend.
Second by Anthony. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then should I have you stay up here, Dennis, because the next ordinance 2022-132 is an ordinance amending ordinance 2022-16, authorizing $8,983 increase in the amount of funds requested from $38,041 to an amount not to exceed $47,024.
for the purchase and delivery of a 2023 Ford SUV Explorer for the engineering department, so.
Yes, that's the same situation as the previous.
So both these, we had money set aside right this year, right, and we just.
Correct, we had a little over 40,000 encumbered, and we prepped a little bit more needed from the 2022 appropriation.
And the same with the police vehicles we have that.
Yeah, the one that we just talked about in 131, that one, the money is there. We'll have to talk a little bit about the one coming up in a couple of ordinances.
Okay. Any opposition to 132, the vehicle for the engineering department? We'll put that on the consent agenda. Ordinance number 2022-133. This is an ordinance that's coming from the Planning Commission, our meeting that we had last Tuesday. It's an ordinance amending section 1181.05, measurement standards of the codified ordinances of the City of Independence relating to off-street parking and loading requirements. This regards to the size of the parking space, and we're increasing it by 20 square feet, from 180 square feet to 200 square feet. And it's because under all the big trucks that are being used now, it's kind of a tight squeeze. I think you pointed out to your car, I think, Jeff, I'll let you take it on.
We won't pick on the mayor, but we will say that the top five selling vehicles are the Ford F-Series, the Chevy Silverado, the Dodge Ram, the RAV, and the Honda CRV. So looking at those larger vehicles, the top selling vehicles in the United States, it's become apparent that to get doors open a little bit wider, especially if you're trying to get infant carriers in the back of those cars, it's more of a challenge. And so as we've met with before the Planning Commission, we've asked them to increase the size of their parking stalls. Since our code only requires a 9x20 stall, it's difficult to make that ask. So if we increase the stall size to 10x20, and then should there be some sort of hardship, the Planning Commission then could grant that variance.
And then just to add, just compare, I think you have two other communities, what they're.
Yes, we've looked at several communities. It does range between 9 and 10 square feet feet wide. But we think that since Independence is a premier community, that having a little bit of extra room in those parking spaces would be beneficial.
Don, does this have an impact on the city parking lot that is being created?
No, I don't believe this ordinance being updated at this point in time would apply.
And this is one of the reasons, because we went through that process. We asked them to make those parking spaces 10 feet wide. However, our code says no, so we don't have any sort of mechanism to enforce that issue.
I know, to repay it at my office, I don't know, it's not cheap, because sometimes I park my car and I come out and I have to call in the doctor's cruises office to see who parked it, because I can't open the door. And this is even after I lost all these.
So is this for new construction or restructuring?
It would apply to specifically new construction, but should somebody come in and modify their parking lot, it would then apply.
Like Jessica mentioned, Tom, this gives us a new starting point. So if there's a hardship, Planning Commission can hear and decide if, a variance should be given and everything. But we thought, because we've been, I think almost every, this has come down almost every proposal for parking that we have faced this week. But let's do it the other way and make it a little bit wider, more convenient because of the trend.
Now this has to remain on the first reading, so that for the public hearing we have to set for 5 o'clock.
Right. So
I think there's one set for 5 o'clock.
October 11th, the next council meeting.
Yeah. So
this Dave?
Councilperson Trakas has it.
Yes, Mike?
Thank you. Just to add on to Tom's question just a second ago. So if I'm restriping my parking lot, I can go back on the old way I did it. If I'm reconfiguring the parking lot, then that's the new apply. I mean, how do we, does that happen frequently? If I may jump in, it would be for any new parking lots that are created to restrike at the larger width would create a problem as far as the required number of spaces. So it would, that would more or less be a maintenance type thing. You're not changing your parking lot, all you're doing is, say, seal coating it and restriping.
So the new ordinance would not apply then, Mark, is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct, it would be the existing condition.
Thank you.
Any other questions, either for Michael or for Jessica?
Seeing that we have a month here between now and the public hearing, I'd appreciate if we can have some professional input, maybe from if there's a traffic engineer or parking engineer, perhaps some data on parking sizes. When I look at this and look at the history of the Planning Commission, one of our most frequent variances is a parking variance because there's never enough room for parking. So now, for every 9 parking spaces, we're losing a parking space. So we're making it even more difficult for businesses to meet our existing codes. And I'm not aware of any complaints of parking lot width, parking space width. The complaints I am aware of is there's not enough parking in buildings. So this seems to be hamstringing things even more. I prefer some professional input rather than looking at one or two surrounding municipalities.
Maybe not for this meeting, but at the public hearing, Recreation Director Walt Chanowitz could chime in, because when the pool, outdoor pool parking lot was restriped, he was successful in getting those restriped wider, and the parking spaces on the north side of Elmwood Park have been wider for a number of years now, and parents have given Recreation Director Walt Chanowitz rave reviews for doing that, because it makes them so much easier for them as economic development. Heiser said you're coming, at least in a facility like this, I'm not talking about it, an office building or an industrial building, but just using the park as an example, you're bringing kids, you're bringing strollers, you're bringing recreation equipment to play baseball and soccer, and that extra foot makes a ton of difference for the parents. Instead of, you know, kid opens the door, they're not waiting, they're not hesitant, oh, how close am I to that car next door? The door just boom, it goes open, and the 9-foot spots are very tight. So I know in firsthand feedback, we've gotten tremendous appreciation from residents appreciating the extra space in the municipal park.
If I may also add, Councilperson, Tagliati's comments as far as variance given, this is actually the first step in adjusting our and reviewing our parking requirements. So if we move to the 10-foot wide spaces, then we'll be able to seriously be able to make the adjustments in required parking, so possibly we're not granting as many variances and we get a more realistic parking situation requirements for the different types of uses.
Thank you, Mike. We did discuss, had a discussion at Planning Commission meeting that this is the first step, and we're going to have a number of other recommendations too based on the realities now as they are, not as they were many years ago when this was first enacted.
Yeah, possibly we could add compact cars in a certain area of the lot. You know, if you go to UH and Redstone, the whole front parking lot there is for compact cars only, and the lines are a lot closer together than if you go to the parking lot beyond. They're a little bit bigger for bigger vehicles.
Next month, as we'll have more information for council for review.
Thank you,
Jessica. Again, this will be kept on first reading with a public hearing before our council meeting. Yes. We thank you. Ordinance number 2022-134. This ordinance authorizing the mayor to prepare and submit an application to participate in the Ohio Public Works Commission State Capital Improvement and/or Local Transportation Improvement Programs, and execute documents as required for the Brookside Road Reconstruction Improvements Project from Russell Road to East View Drive.
And I believe we've gotten that with the Pleasant Valley project a few years back.
Correct.
And this is a, it's a zero interest loan that we would get from the state and paying it back. Well, we're still, are we still paying back the Pleasant Valley one, Ernie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they give us, the state sets the terms, but it's an interest-free loan, and so if it's a, it's a $2 million project that we get the full $2 million, and it's 20-year payback, it's $100,000 a year for 20 years, no interest.
So it's very favorable if we're able to get this out. So this has to be in, I believe you gave us a date down, but it has to be in very soon, isn't it, by the middle of the month, or?
Yeah, this Thursday, applications are due this Thursday.
The 15th, so this is time sensitive that we need to approve this evening. Any questions for Don on this?
When do they award these?
Comes in fact that they normally review these over the month of October, and they'll never try to notify communities of the award of the program. Thanksgiving, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, ideally, they target.
Are there awards based on number of applicants, what they have in the pot? What makes one project better than another?
Yeah, those are all good questions. It's all the above. They have set a maximum amount of funding available, and depending on how many communities submit applications, it's very competitive. We don't have a good track record of being funded, but when we have received funding, it's been on projects that are very advantageous to the county globally. So East Pleasant Valley Road, major traffic corridors, when it's good for the county, they tend to score much higher. This road is, while it's an old county route, it's very low traffic. So we did not ask, we feel that this is a very modest request. And if you notice, no, we're not asking for any free money. The program does have set amount of the total funding available designated for loans. And they struggle sometimes because most communities are looking for free dollars. So we felt to put our best foot forward, put in an application that was the most competitive to try to get, just to see strictly the loan, and it's not a lot.
You're asking 9% of the total, so $520,000. So hopefully, given the size of that, it might be, maybe a little more level of
score. Except points. Yeah, unless you ask, the better you do on the score.
Yeah.
Try to spread the money around.
Any other questions? Any opposition to putting this on the consent agenda this evening? We move on, and then I guess we can discuss the next ordinances done together. Ordinance number 2022-135. This ordinance accepting the proposal of Osborne Engineering Company for the Longano Drive Reconstruction Improvement Project Engineering Design Contract in amount not to exceed $208,000. And then ordinance number 2022-136. This ordinance accepting the proposal of Crawford, Murphy, and Tilly Inc. for the Cleaver Park Reconstruction Improvement Project Engineering Design Contract. That's the amount not exceed $120,000. And now, are these the two newer firms that are, or firms that are new to the city as far as this design work?
Crawford, Murphy, and Tilly has been in the city. They've had some task order general engineering service contracts with the engineering department. And most recently, they did the Hillside Road sidewalk improvements project on the east of Rexville Road. So we felt like they performed very well with that smaller project, and we're ready to be given a larger project. Osborne Engineering is new to the city.
I see.
And although we've had good experience with them recently with the ODOT Bridge project, mm-hmm. we did have a direct contract with them for some aesthetic upgrades and also some feasibility studies of the roadway on Rexville Road. So we have good experience with them, felt that they were well qualified to take on this project.
I see Crawford, Murphy, and Philly. They're located, they're also located in the past.
Right on Rockside Woods Boulevard yesterday when I saw
them. So they'll just be right around the corner from Cleaver Park.
Correct.
Any questions for Don on neither of these pieces of legislation?
Don, these are more global. These are more global studies. Even though in Streets and Sidewalks we kind of looked at some more narrow parameters based on the right-of-ways and so on, but this is kind of a global examination that we can step back from and adjust. Is that a fair comment?
Yes, so Councilman Verga, the way these scopes were written, there's a preliminary component, preliminary impact study, we're trying to look at, in keeping in the spirit of the ordinances that require sidewalks to be built on both sides for major reconstruction projects. We feel obligated to assess and do a full study to see what can fit. These are tight right-of-ways, these are only 50-foot right-of-ways, they're tight to begin with, and we feel some preliminary scope will be to look at what can fit. The roads are narrower, they don't meet current design standards, but we always try to widen and try to get better towards meeting our standards of 26-foot pavements. I believe okay, now they're 23 or 24. So we'll study whether we can widen the pavements, if there's room to accommodate sidewalks on both sides or just one side or no sides. And we'll vet all that out through the through the impact, through the feasibility of the study.
And now we'd be able to have like a streets and sidewalks maybe with their preliminary, so we have some input from council before the final product. And I think the goal is to have it ready to go out to bid next spring, isn't it? As far as hopefully earlier the better.
The goal would be to do the assessment and bring it back to council to review, and then we'll make a recommendation, or we'll have council to weigh in and determine to what extent sidewalks, one side, both sides, wider pavement, some of the different challenges we expose with the engineers doing this assessment. So once we compile that data, then we'll be in a position to ask for input and finalize a scope of work and then be able to go from there.
And Mayor will have probably meetings with the residents to get their
input. Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Dave?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I just, with respect to the same thing with what both the mayor and Dave and Dale talked about, but can you also assure that you are making a recommendation based on the existing street as opposed to widening? Again, when you go down to those two streets, they're probably two of the smallest streets that we have in town, and you're talking about potentially taking a lot of property if need be, if you're trying to increase the size of the street and add sidewalks. I know while we have an obligation to look at that, I just want to make sure there's a smorgasbord of doing it the way it is currently, modestly doing it, or going the full-blown way. I think we should have all that information available to us. Is that the intent here?
Correct, Councilman Tracy. That would be the findings of the feasibility study that would balance a lot of those things, pros and cons, to evaluate. Our goal is always to work within our right-of-way and minimize or negate having to ask residents to give up properties or easements. We try to minimize impacts to utilities at all costs. Power poles, relocating power poles is not conducive to a fast track project. So these are all goals of the design. And we start that's given to the design engineers up front. And those are our goals. And then the study works around trying to balance those things to meet the goals.
Okay, so we would have access to all of that information. So it would be multiple approaches, and then we get to pick based on the residents' feedback and your expert opinion. But there's multiple approaches that we could take, and that will all be part of the study. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Our goal is to, once we get to that point, we would have a committee meeting and share all that information. And at that point, the consultant is waiting to be directed how to proceed. We lock things down at the outcome of those meetings and provide direction and finalize the design and plans.
Thank you. Okay.
And John, the plan is to have that construction done next year for both of those.
Correct. To get all this design work and plan prep prepared and ideally get out over the winter and be able to hit the ground running. A lot of things have to fall in place that make that happen. That's what we're striving for. And that was one of the benefits of having two consultants utilize benefit the same on the time and the schedule of the design as opposed to loading up one consultant with both streets. We feel like this was the better approach, put us in the best position to hit that target.
And the key is to approve this legislation this evening.
Yes.
Process going.
Yes.
Don, are there any time constraints on the companies? In other words, do they have a specific amount of time they need to provide that to us so that we have adequate time to review it and continue to still have it potentially engineered in the spring and built.
Yeah, in their design schedule, they allow for review time, and we cheated that down. Sometimes they put more time than we feel is adequate or needed on our end, so we'll have a good feel as that process is going through our department, and we'll try to get dovetail that way into coordinating the meeting so that we utilize the least amount of time to get facilitate that process and get direction back to the consultant.
Thank you. Any other questions?
On the Osborne paperwork, it says that the city will provide Rexville Road widening details prior to the start of the final design phase. Do we have plans to widen that section of Rexville Road?
Yeah, I'm going to tie that with the referring to is Ian Robinson's plans for Rexville Road. We've got a good survey and good utility mapping, base mapping that we intend to provide, and that's good survey control. There has been some desire to look at right now. Rexville Road is deficient in the lane widths, so we're looking at utility impacts and what might occur or need to occur to try to get a little bit wider lanes out there for the traveling public for safety and to better meet design standards. So that's what that refers to. Those plans are not available yet, but the E.L. Robinson's base survey, about the preliminary work is available.
I know, Mayor, we talked about the entrance to Longano. Is that still on the table as far as a wider entrance?
We'll look at options for that also.
I see. Any other questions? Any objection to getting this on the consent agenda this evening, both these pieces of the legislation? Thank you, John. 135 and 136 will be on the consent agenda. Ordinance number 2022-137, and this is what I think Bernie referred to as an ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of four new 2023 Ford Explorer interceptors for the police department in the amount not to exceed $183,916.
Dennis? Yes, this has been part of the 2023 five-year capital plan. Chief Butler feels it's important that we get these vehicles ordered because of the age of the fleet that's out there. There is, a mention of a outfitting these vehicles in a preliminary number of $100,000. Currently, if we were to order the GTEC in-car video system, safety, lighting, and vehicle graphics, it would run about $80,000 or $20,000 a vehicle. We built in an extra $20,000 just because of the uncertainty of cost. We didn't feel comfortable placing an order for this equipment because the vendors would want to be paid, when they have that equipment on hand, and we just didn't make sense.
This does say this as well. So this would require an increase to our capital due to the increase in costs for vehicles and everything else like that. We originally budgeted $225,000 for our capital in order to purchase cruisers. Four cruisers per year is the common average number that the City of Independence has always purchased for the police department to keep our cruisers fresh and for us to be able to retire those cruisers that no longer meet the standards of our police department. Therefore, we would need to increase our capital $58,916 to make the total $283,916, which would be $100,000 for outfitting and the $183,000 number for the purchase of four cars, as Dennis has stated. We are trying to order these now. We waited, to make sure we had the cost and everything ready. We didn't get the cars this year. We can't afford to do that again next year and be that far behind.
So in all, we said we almost had with the three that should have come
three
this year.
We should have gotten.
And these four.
Correct, sir. So the total would be seven for next year. Three from this year, four for next year, which we would have been ordering anyways.
Yeah.
How many years typically is the rotation then?
About 5 years.
5 years?
Yes.
And one of the comments people have said is, well, it doesn't have that many miles. But so do we have like any kind of an hour meter on that, like you might have on a dozer or something else?
We've talked about something around that effect. It's difficult with police cars. There's more than the hours and the wear and tear. how officers drive their cruisers, how they speed up, how they slow down, how they have to sometimes idle. It's very difficult. I bet that some of that would be recorded, like such as idling. And some of you have done ride-alongs, but especially with us in access to the highways, when we accelerate, when we decelerate, it puts a lot of life and age on our cruisers very rapidly in the city of Independence, as opposed to landlocked cities that are not highway accessible. So our cruisers age quickly. 5 years is pretty, they're not at the quality that we want them to be at any further after 5 years.
Tom, do you have any questions or comments?
No, Chief and I have talked about this morning, and I got a call last week from Chris, and he's like, you know, I have 4 new cruisers this year, about 3 already, but the bottom line is we're not getting those 3, and we're not going to get these 4 next year until next year, but we just want to have the money to make sure that we have them on order. And 5 years has been the norm for us for a long time on ordering and replacing our old vehicles, and we've been doing a good job getting rid of our old vehicles. We don't really put them in use for the city anymore. We usually sell them at auction, or I know we gave a couple away this year, but usually we get a little bit more for our older ones instead of just putting them back to use in the city.
You said 30 to 40 weeks?
Yes, that's correct. Once production is scheduled, it's 30 to 40 weeks before delivery. Just put it out about 10 months.
The payment is on delivery, correct?
That is correct.
It's all prepaid.
So even though we're encountering waste, it's not going to be until next year, do we?
We can't even recover that because we haven't even appropriated 2023 yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but the ones we have for this year.
And keep in mind, we don't have a guaranteed price on these either, so it could be better or it could be worse by the time we're ordering them. I should say.
Chief, what's the policy for cruisers when they're not for Independence use, when they're for other uses by the officers? Is there a specific policy for that? Is that what's wear and tear on them?
Are you asking about take-home cruisers?
Well, whether it be take-home, or are some officers allowed to use the cruisers on other off-duty assignments?
If you're referring to side jobs, those side jobs occur within the city of Independence. If it's a construction job, they do pay for the cruiser to be there, which helps with the wear and tear that they occur while they are there. We have a policy for the take-home cruisers, and we have a policy for usage of the cruisers day-to-day. But they are also a great deterrent for our citizens. They're a great resource to have for those officers that live within the city.
But I guess the most important part is the fact that there is reimbursement related to wear and tear when it's something that's not specifically city assigned.
For construction jobs where they have to keep the cars on. For something like Topgolf, there is not, because they're just driving the vehicle there, turning the vehicle off, and it is there as a deterrent just sitting there. So there's no additional fee for that side job. But yes, there is one for the construction job, sir.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the chief or for Dennis? Any objection to putting this on the consent agenda this evening? Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Dennis.
Ordinance number 2022-138. It's ordinance accepting the bids for snowplowing services for municipal lots and senior citizens, disabled persons, active military residents for the 2022-2023 snow season.
Yes, there's quite a bit of discussion on this. We do not have enough contractors to cover past residents that have signed up for the program. We were only able to assign 14 of the 21 routes that are out there. We did choose to assign these routes. We pulled back the city parking lots
in hopes that, you know, one of the contractors would be able to absorb those, you know, another route if they didn't have to do this, but the city parking lots. And he did, you know, say that he will bid on two other routes. Currently, we have the routes that weren't bid out, and that bid will close the end of September, and we'll have legislation on, hopefully, to award the remaining routes in October.
Were they sent, like you said, last thing you mentioned, that they were emailed to 12 contractors, so when the new bids went out, were they?
Yes, I've contracted, I contacted the contractors that bid this time, I contacted the contractors that didn't bid, and also there were a number of other people that I've been put in touch with that have some interest in bidding it this time around, so hopefully we will get some response.
And we did remove the municipal lots?
Yes, the municipal lots will be handled by the Recreation Department and the Service Department.
Do we want to amend the title of the legislation then, so that it does not state municipal lots?
Well, we do that amendment, I'd like to talk to council about in the one whereas clause, and maybe it's in one of the sections too, the not to exceed amount of $70,000, both in the procurement coordinator's and Dolchek's memo, as well as from the financial system. I get it, in our financial system, it's tracking things on an annual basis, calendar basis, and this is a season basis, but over time, it becomes one and the same, and whether you're quoting what you spent a year or what you spent the season, it'll wash and roughly end up being the same over time. And this has a not to exceed amount in this current draft of $70,000 in this calendar year. I noted we're all, and Dennis noted, we're already at $75,000, and that was basically just January, February, March, and I don't know if they went out in April at all, but certainly those of us that have lived here long enough know that we can certainly get a storm in early season in November, and December is on the table too. So I just feel the $70,000 is a little restrictive, given that we're already over that amount for this calendar year. And I'd be amenable to either significantly increasing that for two reasons. One, that I believe pricing has come back quite a bit higher this year on a per push basis than in previous years, and two, I take it for what it's worth, but one of those early season Mother Nature type forecasts, who was that, the Farmer's Almanac, one of them were saying that Midwest looking at a lot of snow this winter, so I just think we'll end up being back in front of council seeking that dollar amount to be amended upwards, so we might as well just do it now on the front end.
So last year, the whole season, it was $75,660 was spent on the whole season?
That's not the season, that's current calendar year.
I see.
But it'll wash out over time. Because some of the expenditures are in the fall of one year, and the rest of them for the season are in the spring of the following year. But it's easier for us to just track by calendar year. We could go back and get it by season, but the fact is we're going to be spending we've already spent more than that this calendar year, and I think based on pricing, we're going to be low on that $70,000, and we might as well deal with it now instead of in February, March, or whatever it rears its head.
I think last year, I don't think we had any events in Canada at the end of 2021. It all started, I think, with Martin Luther King weekend. That is when the first big snow, and then it came pretty, you know, steady after that for a month or 6 weeks. But what would make you feel more comfortable? What do we need to either increase that $70,000 not to exceed, or to eliminate it altogether?
Just take it out.
Yeah.
Because it's so unpredictable.
It's restricted, and the administration can't just start snow plowing driveways at will. So there's the program restrictions about the 4 inches and who qualifies. So even taking the dollar amount is, the number is what it is based on how many times they're called out. It's same with when we approved the medical insurance contract with whoever has it on the annual basis, we approved the vendor, but we really don't put a not to exceed amount in that legislation because it's predicated on what plan the employees choose and how many employees are on the payroll at any given time. So I believe that sets an example for where council's approving the parameters and they know some of the individual pricing, but the legislation does not include a not to exceed amount because it's just a big variable at that time.
And we should just make a motion to remove the not to exceed. Yeah.
I would move that in the third paragraph, after the words 2023 snow season, comma, remove the words in a total amount not to exceed $70,000.
Okay, you made the motion. Second by Chris. All in favor?
We also remove all references to municipal lots, which we are not.
We can, yeah, that will be a second motion.
That'll be a second motion. Second. So all in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And then Anthony, the motion you want to make on removing municipal lots?
Yeah, there's about four references to municipal lots, if not more, and we're no longer plowing them, so just cleaning it up.
Second. So the motion is made by Chris to remove all reference to plowing municipal lots, and Anthony, second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any vote? Anything else that you can clean up here, Vern?
No, that's good. Thank you. That'll
thank you.
Help us out a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your efforts on this. It's been kind of a difficult project. Yeah. So we'll put this on the consent agenda this evening. No, thank you. Ordinance number 2022-139. This ordinance assessing cost for the repair and replacement of the 60-inch culvert on or about 4902 Pleasant Valley Road and declaring an emergency. We got our memo from down there. This was actually, the work was started, I think, in 2020, had been completed in last year, 2021, and then you have the final prices. Is this the only one that we've had as far as joint to date, as far as a joint project between private residents of Palermo?
The only one that's come formally before council. There's a lot of smaller ones in the works where we're able to facilitate a quicker turnaround and participation and partnership that's well under the dollar values that this project exceeds.
So when it's all said and done, the assessments for $47,433.38?
Correct, which was under the original estimated value.
And it's a 20-year assessment?
Correct.
And the total cost came under the initial estimate. It was $63,244.50?
Correct.
So I believe then when it's all said and done, after the 20 years, I think where you mentioned your memo, that the city's portion of this would be about $16,000.
Yes, whatever the 25% of that 63,000 number works out to be.
And I think you're reading where there's been, the residents seem to are satisfied, there's been no problems.
They've signed all the documents.
Yeah.
So we communicated these final costs to them. They were satisfied. They actually thought that this had already taken place and it was in process. And so we know not until this piece of legislation gets adopted.
Things move slowly. Any questions for Don regarding this? Any opposition to putting this on the consent agenda? Very good. We move now to resolution 2022-24. It's a resolution authorizing Christopher Cross to retain possession of his firearm and badge of office upon retirement. And again, Christopher's been with the department 23 years.
A little over 23 years. He served with the military. Debbie, do you have all the information?
I've been there 11 years.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't think there's any wish to come in for the years of good service that he's given to the city of defense, as well as to the to our country as far as the military is concerned. Can we put this on consent, the resolutions too? Okay. So this will be put on the consent agenda. And then finally, we have resolution number 2022-25. It's resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county fiscal office.
Correct. It's the second part of the process. Council adopted the 2023 tax budget in July. We forwarded that on to the Budget Commission. Budget Commission certified it, and now they've asked us to pass this resolution to defer the 2.1 mils as broken down with the 1.9 mils for the general fund and 0.3 mils for the police pension fund.
We're going to, this needs to be sent back to them this month.
Correct.
Any questions for Vermin on this? And we'll, this will be on the consent agenda too. Well, Mayor, we got it done in pretty good fashion this evening.
Right after.
As I turn it over to you.
Before we get started, I did notice some residents come in, like right before 5:30. The sign in front of Historic Hall says today's meeting starts at 5:30.
God, we better change that to 5 o'clock. We'll change that to next week, or next month to 5 o'clock public hearing.
That's so great, because we've had 5 o'clock here for...
Yeah. All right. Good evening. We have the regular meeting of council of September 13th. Clerk will call the roll.
DiGeronimo?
Here.
Grindel?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Tagliati?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Vavirka?
Here.
Walchamitz?
Here.
Prayer by the Reverend David Wigger from Independence Presbyterian Church. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council, for having me back. As you all probably are aware, we are right in Public Square, so we are a walkable distance from here, so I walked over tonight.
Well, it's a beautiful night.
It is a beautiful night for a walk, and so tonight I would like to offer a prayer for our city sidewalks. Let us pray. God bless our sidewalks and the spaces that bring us closer to each other every day. Instill in us the strength to listen and give our cities, parks, and streets the grace of rich connections. Bless us with the patience to treat love each other with kindness, toleration, and love even when our world makes this a difficult task. God give us the strength to love our neighbors as ourselves, to shovel the ice and snow from our sidewalks, to trim our hedges and share the benches in our parks. Give us the wisdom to be stewards of our inheritance, the parks, buildings, trees, and lives that form the city where we make our homes. God grant us the beauty of long walks. Let us understand ourselves as we understand our streets. Let us hear the sounds of birds, bells, laughter, and rustling of leaves. God, thank you for this life we live together, and grant us the grace to receive it with curious eyes, open hearts, and springs in our steps. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend. Appreciate it. Have a safe walk back. The snow, it got me on the snow, though. Okay, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have audience participation, and keep in mind there's a three minute limitation. First one we have is Linda Soberay.
Stand here, I've never done it.
Well, you can go up to the podium, please.
I don't.
Okay, first of all, I've never done this before, so I may, I don't know, try to give me some.
There's no right or wrong, it's just 3 minutes, that's it.
I had an impression that the Wangandoo issue was a little farther along than it is, when someone told me about it. So, but just, I'm going to ask this question, somebody might know it, they might not know. Is the road is now, you know, like when they're measuring what the city owns, they go from the middle of the road to, you know, to wherever on our property. And I was wondering, is Wangandoo in the middle, or is it off to the side where the city thinks the middle is?
Keep going with your questions, we can answer them all then.
Well, that's one question, that's kind of the main question. So I was wondering, say, like, how much does the city own of my property?
So you want to know how, is it centered, or is it off-center?
I want to know if it's centered or off-center, and how far from the road, the center or the edge of the road, is city property, and what is considered.
Actually, this process will identify that.
Okay, all right, that's
right,
I was afraid maybe, yeah, that was.
No, if council approves tonight, the engineering firm, they'll be out there surveying, doing all the logistics to put that together, and then you'll be invited to a public meeting to participate and share your thoughts and also listen to the findings of our engineering report.
Okay, that's what I thought, since I'm here, I guess.
Yeah.
And the other question is, in my backyard, I'm going to be building back there currently, my understanding, I've heard, there's going to be churches going back there or something.
Well, nothing's come before the planning commission or the city.
Okay, so that there's nothing really on the books yet.
No, and you can keep track of watching the agenda for the planning commission. If someone does apply, make an application, it'll be on the planning commission agenda, which is public.
And then you get that kind of question.
And by the way, since you're an adjoining property, you'll be notified.
Okay.
Okay.
And would it be like, would they say, like, when you have an input, or when I have an input to say, could you leave some trees there between my property and your property?
All that, whatever someone decides, or the owner decides to approach the city for developing that property, all the neighboring property will be invited, and then we will be able to assess every component of that proposal at that time.
Okay.
Okay.
See you later.
Thank you. Okay, and Tim Lesh.
Good evening, everyone. During the August 2nd, 2022 City Committee meeting, Councilman Burka asked, quote, if the Sycamore Hills Rifle Club was insured for any kind of mishap, end quote. He also asked, quote, are we protected, end quote. As a matter of record, Councilman did not receive an answer. In accordance with Section 1533.84 of the Ohio Vice Code, quote, the Chief of the Division of Wildlife hereby establishes standards for shooting ranges in Ohio. These standards address noise levels, hours of operation, and safety. Private or public shooting ranges in Ohio should substantially comply with these standards to receive the civil and criminal immunities granted under Section 1533.85 of the Ohio Vice Code. State law further states that, quote, the Chief of the Division of Wildlife shall consult with a representative sample of persons and organizations that own, operate, or use shooting ranges, and persons and organizations that represent counties, townships, municipal corporations, and holders of real property adjoining shooting ranges prior to filing or amending the rules required or authorized under the section in accordance with Section 1531.10 of the Ohio Vice Code. In accordance with state law, I ask, when did the Chief of the Division of Wildlife consult with the Sycamore Hills Rifle Club, the holders of rural property adjoining the shooting range, and the owners of rural property, but the owners of the property and our elected officials? During the Safety Committee meeting, Mayor Kurtz stated that, quote, he thought that these individuals were more established with good understandings of firearms. The mayor further commented the property is an easement or a lease. I believe it's a lease. Police Chief Butler stated that they only let the police come down and shoot. End quotes. The statement made by the mayor gives doubt about who these individuals are. He further bestows doubt as to who owns this property. Police Chief Butler's statement presents doubt as to why the police are not welcome. I've made my position clear. With the documentation that I have provided to all, With my personal experience, I firmly believe that you are elected officials are risking the safety and well-being of the residents and guests of Independence for no reason at all. I firmly believe the property owner and the Sycamore Girls Rifle Club are subjecting the residents and our guests to extreme danger for no reason at all. I further believe that the Sycamore Girls Rifle Club and the owner of the property are subjecting us to legal liability for no reason at all. I formally request all documentation to prove the city's immunity from civil and criminal prosecution granted by state law.
Thank you. Nothing else.
I would like to give each and every one of you a copy of this letter.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of council of August 9th, 2022, the safety committee meeting of August 9th, 2022, council workshop of August 4th, 2022, community services committee meeting of August 11th, 2022, economic growth and development committee meeting of August 16th, 2022, the minutes of the public hearing and building meeting of August 30th, 2022, the minutes of council workshop meeting of September 8th, 2022.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And they are adopted. Reports will be submitted along with your reports, and I will submit my report. And we'll move on to legislation. We have resolution 2022-20.
Title only.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
A resolution authorizing the mayor to execute an affidavit of facts relative to the stewardship of certain environmental parcels located in the Chestnut Woods Section 3 subdivision.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
DeGeronimo?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Pagliotti?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Roverca?
Yes.
Wall Chandler?
Yes.
And now to the consent agenda. We have approval of the consent agenda. Items will be read individually into the record, and the consent agenda will then be voted on as a whole by one motion and roll call. There will be no separate discussion on these items. Can I have a motion to read the items by title on consent agenda by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Ordinance 2022-121, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a job relocation and creation grant agreement with Faber Castell USA Inc. to relocate operations to a location within the city. Ordinance 2022-122, an ordinance authorizing the purchase of radio equipment for the fire department. Ordinance 2022-123, an ordinance authorizing an increase in the amount of funds allocated to the retention of Atlantic Emergency Solutions for annual preventive maintenance of the city's fire engines and ladder truck revision 1. Ordinance 2022-124, an ordinance authorizing the transfer of surplus property no longer needed by the police department to the city of Maple Heights. Ordinance 2022-125, an ordinance authorizing the purchase and installation of 6 in-car video systems on existing police department vehicles. Ordinance 2022-127, an ordinance accepting the proposal of R&R Inc. DBA Cleveland Mack Sales for the supply of parts to repair and maintain the city's Mack and auto car trucks on an as-needed basis. Ordinance 2022-128, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into an agreement with the Mannequin Smith Group Inc. for professional services to update the city's 2017 roadway program paver report. Ordinance 2022-129, an ordinance authorizing the purchase and installation of 3 new air handling units for City Hall and the police station. Ordinance 2022-130, an ordinance authorizing the purchase and installation of controls for the 3 new air handling units for City Hall and the police station. Ordinance 2022-131, an ordinance amending ordinance 2022-15, authorizing, as amended, an increase in the amount of funds requested for the purchase and delivery of three new 2023 Ford SUV Interceptors for the Police Department. Ordinance 2022-132, an ordinance amending ordinance 2022-16, authorizing an $8,983 increase in the amount of funds requested from $38,041 to an amount not to exceed $47,024 for the purchase and delivery of a 2023 Ford SUV Explorer for the Engineering Department. Ordinance 2022-134, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to prepare and submit an application to participate in the Ohio Public Works Commission State Capital Improvements and or Local Transportation Improvement Programs and to execute documents as required for the Brookside Road Reconstruction Improvements Projects, Brexville Road to Eastview Drive. Ordinance 2022-135, an ordinance accepting the proposal of Osborne Engineering Company for the Longano Drive Reconstruction Improvements Project Engineering Design Contract. Ordinance 2022-136, an ordinance accepting the proposal of Crawford, Murphy, and Tilly, Inc. for the Cleaver Court Reconstruction Improvements Project Engineering Design Contract. Ordinance 2022-137, an ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of four new 2023 Ford Explorer Interceptors for the Police Department. Ordinance 2022-138, as amended, an ordinance accepting the bids for snow plowing services for senior citizens, disabled persons, active military residents for the 2022-2023 snow season. Ordinance 2022-139, an ordinance assessing costs for the repair and replacement of the 60-inch culvert on or about 4902 Pleasant Valley Road and declaring an emergency. Resolution 2022-24, a resolution authorizing Christopher Cross to retain possession of his firearm and badge of service of office upon retirement. And resolution 2022-25, a resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county fiscal officer.
Motion to suspend.
Take a deep breath. Take a drink.
Second.
Second.
The suspension of rules, call roll. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Motion adopt.
Second.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption of the consent agenda? Call roll.
Grindel?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Tagliati?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Roberta?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
DeGeronimo?
I'm abstaining due to related parties in ordinance 22-121.
And it's adopted. The consent agenda is adopted. We have ordinance 2022-126.
I will.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance amending ordinance 2022-111 authorizing an extension to the agreement with J.F. Lentzowitz and Associates to provide labor relations, consulting, and negotiation services.
Motion to suspend.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Tagliati?
No.
Tracus?
Aye.
Roberta?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
DeGeronimo?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
And it's adopted. And let's see, were there any others?
Do you want to ask
33.
First reading, 33.
Oh, that's right. First reading. Ordinance 2022-133.
Aye, Molly.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance amending section 1181.05 measurement standards of the codified ordinances of the City of Independence relating to off-street parking and loading requirements.
And that'll remain on first reading, and there'll be a public hearing set for October 11th at 5 o'clock. Let's see, there being any other business before this honorable body? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, people that came for this council meeting. And if you're walking home, be safe. So have a good
recording place. Stopped.
Good work, everybody.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Good night.